Let us pray. God of love, as John baptized Jesus in the Jordan, baptize us in your word. Immerse us in your presence. Fill us with your spirit. Wash us with your grace. Nourish us with your joy. Empower us to do your will for the sake of the world. In the name of the Spirit of Christ. Amen. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. You all are my servants, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit within you. You are to bring forth justice to the nations. Do not cry or lift up your voice or make it heard in the street. Gently, so as not to break a bruised reed or quench a faint candle, faithfully bring forth true justice. You will not grow faint or be crushed until you have established justice on earth, and far lands wait for your teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison who sit from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is whom I am. I yield my glory to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel. Jesus came from Galilee to John to be baptized in the River Jordan. John would have prevented him. He said, I should be baptized by you, and you come to me? But Jesus said, let it be so, for it's proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. So John consented. And after Jesus was baptized, as he was coming up out of the water, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, this is my beloved, my own, in whom my soul delights. And the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The gospel of the beloved, Jesus Christ. This is all you need to know. This is everything you need to believe. You are my beloved, in whom my soul delights, my own, my child. That's it. If we believed that, the world would be at peace. It's so hard for us to trust that. That we are just beloved for no reason. We always want to invent a reason. We have to be good enough. We have to earn it. We have to have the right faith. When Jesus comes up out of the water, Matthew says, the heavens were opened. In that ancient mythological way of looking at the world, God was up in the sky, which we know is silly, but we still think that way sometimes. When we say the heavens are opened, what that means is the presence of God is opened to us. The door is opened. We are brought into heaven. There's no distance, no separation between us and God. We are received into God's love. When we come up out of the baptismal waters, it's like coming up out of the waters of birth. Coming up out of the waters of the womb, we are received into our mother's arms. And any mother who has a child loves that child. And that infant doesn't have to do anything. She just loves them. In fact, for the first year, an infant doesn't do much at all other than poop and cry. And the mother just loves them. It's so hard for us to trust that. That it doesn't matter how much you poop and cry. God just loves you. If we all could surrender all of our trying so hard to be good enough and being pretty sure that somebody else isn't good enough, the world would be at peace. But when we do begin to suspect that, when we allow ourselves to be so received, it changes us. When we receive this love that's in us, we know that that love has come to us not because of who we are, but because of who God is. That's the only way that it could be true for anybody. And then we know that everybody is God's beloved. And when we understand that, it changes our fears and our desires. What we care about, what we work at, what we don't care about, what we're willing to let go. It changes why we think we're in the world. We know that we're in the world to embody that love for the whole world. We get transformed in that way. And that love that's in us, that's so powerful, you can't keep it. You can't hold it in. It's meant to flow out into the world. And so being received and transformed sends us right back into our lives, only totally different, totally new. We are sent. When Matthew's audience hears him say these words from heaven, "You are my beloved, my child," right away they're thinking Psalm 2. They remember that, Psalm 2, that they consider to be about the Messiah, God's love. But then this other phrase, "in whom my soul takes delight," that rings a bell, but it's not Psalm 2. It's, that passage from Isaiah that Amy just read, the servant song from Isaiah 42. "Behold my servant, in whom my soul delights, who shall bring forth justice." Being God's beloved means that we have a job to do, to spread that love, to bring forth justice, which is the condition in which everybody gets beloved, everybody. Nobody gets left out. So we get received and transformed and sent. We have work to do. That's the work that God does in our lives. And if you want, you can think of that in a Trinitarian way, that we are received in the love of God. We're transformed by the grace of Christ working in our hearts, the way Jesus healed people and fed people and taught them. And then we're empowered, we're sent by the Holy Spirit to do ministry in our daily lives. You can think of it Trinitarianly, but don't cut it up into job descriptions, because all three of the persons of the Trinity do all three of those things, and they all sort of morph and flow together, and they keep going in this cycle. That's why we're here. That's why we have a church, so that people can be received and transformed and sent moment by moment, day after day. We see to it that that happens. Here's a little trick, though. Scripture reminds us that we who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death. What that means is that in this process of being received and transformed and sent, there are these little deaths, these little gaps. When we're received by God's love, we really have to let go of a lot of stuff that we have in our heads about whether or not we deserve it. We have to die to that whole deserving thing and start over. And sometimes it takes a little while for that to sink in. There's a little gap while we ponder that mystery. Sometimes when we're transformed, it takes a while to let go of the old in order to really take on the new. We have to kind of sit with that for a while and practice letting go of the old self that we were in order to really become the new self that we're becoming. And we have to ponder, so if now I know why I've been sent into this world to embody God's love, what does that look like? How am I going to do that? What are the gifts I've been given? What are the powers that I have? Sometimes when we're sent, we're not sent into some busyness. We're sent into stillness. To let all this percolate and ferment before we're quite ready. So Jesus is baptized, and immediately the Spirit leads him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In Scripture, the wilderness is not a scenic preserve. The wilderness means the desert. It's challenging and difficult and even dangerous. Now, the desert is not a bad place to be. In fact, most of the places that are named in the Bible are in the desert. That's where the good stuff happens, because the desert being so dangerous is a place where you really have to pay attention. It's a good place to be. The wilderness is a place of heightened awareness, of deepened attentiveness, a place of discernment. So when Jesus is baptized, you get this really clear vision. This was why I've sent you into the world, to embody my love. The first thing Jesus has to do is go out into the wilderness and think about that for 40 days. What are the gifts I've been given to do that with? What are the powers I've been given? What are the temptations embedded in those powers? What is this going to look like? How do I work that out? He has to go to the wilderness before the ministry starts. When Israel is set free and escapes slavery in Egypt, God leads them to the Red Sea, and then the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud leads them, but not to the promised land. It leads them out into the desert. And they go through the wilderness for 40 years, around and around, because they need that time to let the old slave in them die so that they can become new people. They know that they're received and transformed and sent, but they need some time to absorb that, receive their laws, become a new people. Then they're ready for the promised land. St. Matthew's has been thinking about, why are we here? There's a vision team that's been meeting for 6 months talking about that. What are we doing here? Why are we a church? And they've come to this clarity that we are here so that people will be received and sent, received and transformed and sent over and over. That's why we're here. How do we do that? That's a good question. That's that wilderness time. We're entering something like a wilderness time, because this summer your pastor is going to retire and leave you. And although you might be fond of some of the ways things used to be, you won't get to hang on to all of those. There are some things that you will finally get rid of. I'll go and I'll take them with me. But that's this sort of weird little time before the new pastor comes, when we're in this period when we realize we've been sent, but we need to take some time to think through how. What does that look like? Who are we as a people? What are we supposed to be doing? What's really us? It's not Pastor Steve, it's St. Matthew's. And it'll still be St. Matthew's when a new pastor comes. What is that? How do we do that? What does that look like? It's not a bad place to be, it's just challenging. It's a place of deepened discernment. Sometimes it's only out in the desert, it's only in the wilderness where you really have to pay attention, that you most deeply hear those words of God. You are my beloved. You are mine, and I have put my love in you, and it's powerful. And I am sending you out into the world with that love. Now go. It's in the wilderness where we begin to hear what that really means. Little Willow was 8 years old when her mom ran away. The good news is her mom took Willow with her. She was in an abusive relationship. It was growing increasingly violent. After a while, Dad stopped coming to church. Little Willow was almost every day worried for her mom and sometimes worried for herself. She was afraid. Her mom arranged for her to be baptized. She'd never been baptized. She met with the pastor, a woman who explained to her all this stuff about God's love and the Holy Spirit and life with Jesus. What she remembers about her baptism isn't the words. It was the water. She remembers, as the prayers were being said, staring at the water. And it seemed to her like the night sky, deep and dark and full of mystery, but sparkly with all of this glory and wonder. She remembers the feel of this water poured over her head and running down her face to her collar. The feel of God's blessing pouring over her. The feeling of this promise, "You are my beloved," raining down on her. A few minutes later, she was standing with her mother. Her mother was standing behind her with her arms around her, and Willow was just leaning against her mom's chest, and she could still feel the water falling on her head. Only it wasn't the water from the bowl. It was the water from her mother's tears as she stood there and just quietly wept. The congregation recited the closing prayer, and Willow could hear her mother just murmuring. And again, when they went back and sat down, and she just held Willow in her lap and kept on crying, and she could keep feeling the water falling on her head and hearing her mother saying, "You are my beloved. You are my beloved. You are my beloved." Shortly after that, her mom ran away, took Willow with her, left that relationship, moved over to another part of town. They kept going to the same church, but they went to a different school. And her mom took her and introduced her to all the teachers and showed her around and got her all set up. But that first day of classes, Willow was still pretty scared, feeling pretty small and lonely. Her mom drove her to school, even though she was going to be taking the bus. And as she dropped her off, she said, "I love you." And Willow said, I'm scared. And her mom said, "You have God's love in you. And maybe in this new school, maybe they need it." Well, Willow still felt sort of as dark and gloomy as the weather. It was kind of awful looking. As she got out of the car, it started to rain. And people were screaming and covering their heads and running for shelter and complaining about the rain. But Willow stopped and lifted up her face to the opened heavens and just felt that water falling on her head, running down her face to her collar, remembered what it was like, remembered that in that moment she had never felt so safe and so important and so powerful. And she smiled and she walked into that school. And never had she felt so safe and so important and so powerful. You are God's beloved. Go. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your amazing, unfailing love. It's as constant as gravity. We pray for the faith to let you love us to be your beloved and then to go and do justice and mercy and love because your love is in us. God, we thank you for your grace. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen. Beloved in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, God gives us new birth through water and the Spirit, brings us into Christ's holy church, and makes us part of the salvation of the world. So we come to the water. Yes, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Water of new birth, poured out and flowing freely for all who will receive it. Water of justice rolling down, water of righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, a spring of water in us gushing up to eternal life, the river of God for the healing of the world. We come to this water because our souls thirst for you, O God, as in a dry and weary land. As we behold the mystery of God's grace, I invite you to profess your faith and confirm the baptismal covenant made in your name. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Will you turn away from the powers of sin and death? Will you let the Spirit use you as prophets to the powers that be? Irresistible justice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Will you receive God's grace, give yourselves wholly to God, and live as disciples of Jesus Christ's body on earth? According to the grace given you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Will you be living witnesses to the gospel, individually and together, wherever you are and in all that you do? Will you nurture one another in living the faith through the church? The Spirit of God is among us. Loving, life-giving God, we give you thanks. For in the beginning, your Spirit brooded over the waters, and you brought forth creation. You brought us to freedom through the waters of the Red Sea. You gave us new birth through baptism into Christ, and gave us life that cannot die. We who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his life, born in the water of a womb. We're baptized into his ministry, giving water to the thirsty, washing the feet and sharing the tears of all who suffer. And we are baptized into his death, so that just as Christ was raised by the glory of God, we too might walk in newness of life. Pour out your Holy Spirit in this water and bless us as we receive it, that claimed by your word, nourished in your grace, washed from all sin and born by your Spirit, we may live in freedom, trust and courage, sharing in the eternal life of Christ. O God, in this water may we hear your blessing. You are my children, my beloved. in whom I am pleased. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Let the waters of God's blessing rain upon your head and instill deep in your hearts the blessings of God. You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Hear the blessing and let it sink deep in. You are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. May the grace of God sink deep into the roots of your heart. Bless you always with this promise. You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Let this rain water the soil of your souls, that it might bear fruit in your life, now and always. You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Let this blessing rain upon you. Let it sink deep. Feel the blessing of God. You are the blessed beloved of God, with whom God is overjoyed. Remember your baptism and give thanks. You are God's beloved, in whom God is well pleased. Let this be the blessing you carry into all the world. Let this be the purpose of your life. Let this be the one thing you believe. Let this be everything you know. You are God's beloved, God's own, in whom God is delighted. And there's no such thing as being too late. It's always a little surprising. It's always a little bit like you thought maybe you got away, but nobody does. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you know how we struggle to trust your infinite, perfect, absolute love. Help us to live out our baptisms with faith and joy and radiant courage.